Unlike Arcadio, who had never known his real origins, he found out that he was the son of Pilar Ternera, who had hung up a hammock so that he could take his siesta in her house. More than mother and son, they were accomplices in solitude. Pilar Ternera had lost the trail of all hope. Her laugh had taken on the tones of an organ. Her breasts had succumbed to the tedium of endless caressing. Her stomach and her thighs had been the victims of her irrevocable fate as a shared woman. But her heart grew old without bitterness. Fat, talkative, with the airs of a matron in disgrace, she renounced the sterile illusions of her cards and found peace and consolation in other people's loves. In the house where Aureliano José took his siesta, the girls from the neighborhood would receive their casual lovers. "Lend me your room, Pilar," they would simply say when they were already inside. "Of course," Pilar would answer. And if anyone was present, she would explain, "I'm happy knowing that people are happy in bed." She never charged for the service. She never refused the favor, just as she never refused the countless men who sought her out, even in the twilight of her maturity, without giving her money or love, and only occasionally pleasure. Her five daughters, who inherited a burning seed, had been lost on the byways of life since adolescence. Of the two sons she managed to raise, one died fighting in the forces of Colonel Aureliano Buendía, and the other was wounded and captured at the age of 14, when he tried to steal a crate of chickens in a town in the swamp. In a certain way, Aureliano José was the tall, dark man who had been promised her for half a century by the King of Hearts. And like all men sent by the cards, he reached her heart when he was already stamped with the mark of death. She saw it in the cards. "Don't go out tonight," she told him. "Stay and sleep here because Carmelita Montiel is getting tired of asking me to put her in your room." Aureliano José did not catch the deep feeling of begging that was in the offer. "Tell her to wait for me at midnight," he said. He went to the theater, where a Spanish company was putting on The Dagger of the Fox, which was really Zorrilla's play, with the title changed by order of Captain Aquiles Ricardo, because the liberals called the conservatives Goths. Only when he handed in his ticket at the door did Aureliano José realize that Captain Aquiles Ricardo and two soldiers armed with rifles were searching the audience. "Be careful, Captain," Aureliano José warned him. "The man hasn't been born yet who can lay hands on me." The captain tried to search him forcibly, and Aureliano José, who was unarmed, began to run. The soldiers disobeyed the order to shoot. "He's a Buendía," one of them explained. Blind with rage, the captain then snatched away the rifle, stepped into the center of the street, and took aim. "Cowards!" he shouted. "I only wish it was Colonel Aureliano Buendía." Carmelita Montiel, a 20-year-old virgin, had just bathed in orange blossom water and was strewing rosemary leaves on Pilar Ternera's bed when the shot rang out. Aureliano José had been destined to find with her the happiness that Amaranta had denied him, to have seven children, and to die in her arms of old age. But the bullet that entered his back and shattered his chest had been directed by a wrong interpretation of the cards. Captain Aquiles Ricardo, who was really the one destined to die that night, did indeed die, 4 hours before Aureliano José. As soon as the shot was heard, he was brought down by two simultaneous bullets whose origin was never established, and a shout of many voices shook the night. "Long live the Liberal Party! Long live Colonel Aureliano Buendía!" At 12 o'clock, when Aureliano José had bled to death, and Carmelita Montiel found that the cards showing her future were blank, more than 400 men had filed past the theater and discharged their revolvers into the abandoned body of Captain Aquiles Ricardo. A patrol had to use a wheelbarrow to carry the body, which was heavy with lead and fell apart like a water-soaked loaf of bread. Annoyed by the outrages of the regular army, General José Raquel Moncada used his political influence, put on his uniform again, and assumed the civil and military leadership of Macondo. He did not expect, however, that his conciliatory attitude would be able to prevent the inevitable. The news in September was contradictory.